If you would please take out your Bible, your iPad, your phone, whatever it is that you use for Scripture. And if you would please pardon me, but there is a revisit we need to do. Would you go once again to Psalm 95? Psalm 95. Ended on this passage last week. But there are a few loose ends that we need to go to. There's a little bit more that I would like to add from what we saw. So if you could please, Psalm 95. If you don't have a tablet, a phone, or a Bible, there is a Bible in front of you, in the chairs in front of you. If you could please get that, I would like all of us to be there. Psalm 95. Amen? How many of you have been enjoying the warmer than usual weather? Say amen. How many of you realize the Lord is changing that? And so here we are. It's going to rain. Praise God. We need the rain. It's going to get colder. I'll still praise God. Amen? All right. Very good. Psalm 95, we're going to read verses 6 through 9. Psalm 95, verses 6 through 9. I am not right on that. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. It's the glasses. Verse 6. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand. Today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would do a great work now. Lord, speak to us in a great way. I pray that this morning we would be heartened in Thee, not hardened in heart. Help us to hear Your Word clearly. And Lord, I pray that You would find good soil in each of us that is ready to obey, ready to take in what Your Word says. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Listen, because Satan's greatest weapon is getting humanity to doubt God's Word. That's what he did in the beginning. He's been doing it ever since. You and I need to have a response. And that response is faith with that which heartens us. In other words, with what he has written, what he has told us, heartens us, not hardens us. And it's found in His Word. You want to be encouraged this morning? How many of you need encouragement? Say amen. Amen. Then we're going exactly where we need to go this morning. Now, last week, our focus drew us to responding to the call of God. It was basically about invitation, the public invitation, coming to the Lord. We saw this. And this is important. Whenever the Word of God is opened and preached or taught, everyone makes a decision upon hearing that message. Everyone. You made a decision last week on what you heard. You're going to make a decision this morning as well. The question is, what's the decision? And why do you make the decision that you make? Remember, we saw this, that the whole Bible is an invitation. Probably one of the most famous is out of Matthew 11, where Christ said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." In Revelation 22, we give an invitation. So what in the world is that? Yes, Revelation 22. And the Spirit and the Bride, who's the Bride? The Church. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. You realize what we're reading when we read Revelation 22, we're reading what you and I are going to be shouting out and saying in the future. If you've trusted Christ as Savior, we're hearing us. We're hearing the Spirit. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Now, also this. In the call of God, in His Word, in that, we realize that some invitations are simply a call. Remember, the Lord said in Isaiah chapter 1, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Isaiah 45, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. And then, of course, Christ in Matthew 11 that we just quoted. So some invitations are a call, but then some are a choice. Moses said in Exodus 32, who is on the Lord's side, let him come unto me. Joshua said in Joshua 24, choose you this day whom ye will serve. These are choices that we're making this morning. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. Amen? Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, Moses wrote. Then he said, therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed might live. Elijah, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. By the way, that's applicable for today. If God is God, Faith Baptist, let us surrender to Him, say to Him, thy will be done. We will do anything that you say, or let's sell the property and go because it's not worth investing our lives in some God that really doesn't have that kind of power or doesn't really exist at all. You see what I'm saying? This is what we come to every time. Every time. And then we came to Psalm 95. The end of verse 7. Today if ye will hear His voice. Verse 8. Harden not your heart. Now we saw last week this. That there is a, first of all, special duty. Hear His voice. Hear His instruction. Hear His commands, His invitations, His promises. And then there's a special time, today. We don't put God off. This morning, you will hear a challenge from God's Word. You need to answer that challenge today. And then there's a special danger. Harden not your heart. Is it possible to do that? Yes. We saw it last week. We will see it again this morning. So what I want to do, if you don't mind, I want to go back to this psalm. Because there's some other things that we just need to glean from it. The Lord was very plain in speaking to me this last week. I believe with all my heart, I have a message from God for all of us, including all of you. Do you believe that? Amen. Let's hear Him out. Go back to verse 6. The first thing that we need to understand, very first thing if you're taking notes, respond to His voice. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. This is worship time. We've sung His praises. We've given in worship. And now in coming to Him at this time, we at least ought to be doing this. We come with a heart that says, speak, for thy servant heareth. That's what we need to be coming with. So he says, the psalmist, Let us worship. Let's bow down. We will surrender ourselves. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice. Can you write this down, please? Underneath this first main point, write this down. Every passage is a personal message. Every passage is a personal message. First of all, it was written to those immediately the author was writing to. But then secondly, it's written to us as well. Go to Romans chapter 4, would you please? Romans chapter 4. When you pick up your Bible, when you picked it up this morning and you read it, and I pray that you did before you came, when you picked your Bible up and you read it, no matter what page you opened that to, you could say with full assurance, that's for me. There's something that God has for me there. Now watch this. This is about Abraham and justification by faith. But watch what gets said. Verse 23, Romans 4. Now, it was not written for his sake alone, speaking of Abraham, that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Now, Albert Barnes had something good to say about this. It's a little lengthy, but I'd like to read most of it to you. It's not going to be too long, but listen carefully. Abraham showed his faith in God by believing just what God revealed to him. That this was his faith, and it might be as strong and implicit as could be exercised under the fullest revelation. Faith now is belief in God just so far as He has revealed His will to us. It is therefore the same in principle, though it might have reference to different objects. You see what he's saying? When God speaks, He spoke to somebody about a particular issue back then, but in speaking to him, if it's recorded in this word, he's speaking to us as well. Abraham showed his faith mainly in confiding in the promises of God, respecting a numerous prosperity. This was the leading truth made known to him. He's going to be the father of many. And this he believed. The main or leading truths that God has made known to us are that he has given his son to die, that he has raised him up, and that through him he is ready to pardon. To put confidence in these truths is to believe now. So he wrote to Abraham, and Abraham trusted God. He writes to us the same thing. We, by faith, are brought into the body of Christ. By faith, our sins are forgiven. We are now in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. How? By faith. So it wasn't just written to Abraham, Paul is saying. It was written to us as well. That is how we learn that the Bible is a living book. It has everything to do with us as much as it had to do with them. The book, this book, is relevant at any age. Amen? Right here, right now, we're learning. They went through it first, but it applies to us as well. So number one, every passage is a personal message. Secondly, every passage is a crucial message. You're in Romans. Go a few pages over, chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. One of my favorite passages. Verse 4, Romans 15. Watch this. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we listen through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have what? You ever lost hope? You ever had a tough time? Brother Chapman, there you and your wife out there in Africa. You just can't call a fellow preacher, you know, down the road. I bet it got kind of tough sometimes, huh? God is good, isn't He? It's good to have you here. Praise God, it's good to have you here. Remember last week when I shared Psalm 87 with you? All my springs are in Thee. I'm telling you, that kept me going all week. All my springs are in Thee. Let me ask you, what kept you going this last week? Seriously, what kept you going? Well, it was confidence in my government. It was confidence in the entertainment industry. I'm telling you, they keep me in stitches. Yeah, they sure do. It's confidence in our education system. Listen, when we look to Jesus Christ, we look to His Word, we see Him keeping His promises, redeeming us from sin, yes, judging our sin, need be, guiding His people. Praise God for that. Now, Paul declares his use of the Old Testament is justified in this. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. We can look at both the Old and the New Testament in this right now. So it's crucial in this, folks, in patience, we maintain our trust in God and all that He is. And then in the encouragement, the comfort of the Scriptures, He declares to us what we trust. All my springs are in Thee. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. That's a joy, isn't it? That's a joy. Go to 1 Chronicles 21. Because there's something that we need to be careful about. We need to be careful about. Listen. We have an enemy. He's the devil. You might not even have noticed it, but he messed with you this last week. He messed with me. Now listen, as we've said before, and this is important. If you're saved, if you're born again, bought by the blood of the Lamb, you have a complete salvation. Complete salvation. But we need to be careful in this. Satan's only power over us is the lie. He comes to us and he gets us to doubt God's Word, right? He gets us to doubt God's Word. He can put thoughts in us. You say, well, no, we're going to read in a minute. We need to be careful. There are things that we will know from, say, reading the Bible in time past. Yep, there it is. God doesn't want that. He says, don't do it, so I won't do it. But then later on, Satan comes along. Look what he did with David. Here we are, 1 Chronicles 21, verse 1. And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. We know from 2 Samuel that the Lord allowed this to happen. David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, go number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan and bring the number of them to me that I may know it. And Joab answered. Now, he wasn't supposed to do this. He is supposed to put his trust in God. There's a couple of reasons that commentators say David might be doing this. Number one, and I believe this might be it because of what is said later on, I want to find out how many warriors I've got here. Or number two, it could have been for taxation purposes. But he knew, David knew, that God would supply the need for his nation. And we don't trust in chariots and horses. We don't trust in men. We trust in God, which will bring us the victory. David knew that. Amen? Watch this. Joab answered. Again, Joab, not a spiritual giant. The Lord make his people 100 times so many more as they be. But my Lord the King, are they not all my Lord's servants? Why then doth my Lord require this? Why will he be a cause of trespass to Israel? Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab. Wherefore Joab departed and went through all Israel and came to Jerusalem. And Joab gave the sum of the number of the people unto David. And all they of Israel were 1,000,000 and 100,000 men that drew sword. And Judah were 400, 80,000 and 10,000 men that drew sword. But Levi and Benjamin counted he not among them, for the king's word was abominable to Joab. And God was displeased with the thing, therefore he smote Israel. Listen, David knew better. David was surrounded by those who were trying to tell him he knew better. But he wouldn't hear it. You know why? His heart was hardened. Harden not your heart. We're going to see Israel how they did this. See, when we come to the Word of God, we are to be heartened about the promises. We are to be heartened about having that which tells us how to live. Praise God. Our hearts aren't supposed to be hardened. Now, have you ever hardened your heart against God's command? Some of you are lying. You should be raising your hand. You know it as well as I do. But it's the truth. I want what I want. Let me give you a... Oh, this is terrible. You ladies in here that are married, how many of you, your husbands have ever bought a car and you tried to talk him out of it? He just said, I'm going to do this. Raise your hand. Honey, you're not raising your hand? Bless you. I'll never forget the time my dad and I went out when I was a teenager. We went out looking for a motorcycle for me. I wanted a Honda 175. How many of you remember the 175 Honda way back then? Went out looking for a Honda 175, came back with a Chrysler New Yorker. Whole lot different than what we were looking for. And Dad justified it. Now, I'm not blaming Dad. I could do stupid things too. Amen, honey. Thank you for being quiet. I'm telling you, she's helping me out this morning. Remember Ananias? Peter came to him. They sold some property, he and his wife. Why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Their heart was hardened. Going to do this? We'll tell we sold it for this much. Hey, Ananias, you've hardened your heart. You're supposed to tell the truth. It's the same thing. Listen, number one, respond to his voice. But secondly, decide to change. Go back, if you would please, to Psalm 95. Psalm 95, verse 8. So today, if you will hear his voice, verse 8, harden not your heart. And then he is speaking of a specific situation, as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. Keep a finger there. Go to Exodus 17. Exodus 17. There was a sermon I preached from this, and there were two points in that sermon. Number one, you cannot choose what comes. But then number two, it's not what's present, but what prevails that counts. Look at this, Exodus 17, verse 1. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin, and after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Now, they had seen the miracles of God, but their heart was hardened. Look at verse 2. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." And Moses said to them, "Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord?" And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, "Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" Now, folks, they had seen the miracles, hadn't they? They had seen what God had done. You know, we're seeing what God can do. We're seeing what God can do in everyday lives of all of us. We're seeing now what God has done, for instance, in Africa with the Chapmans, with Tim and Megan down in New Zealand. We're seeing these things. We saw God work in a great way during the two-minute warning. And God is going to continue to do that. But guess what we do? We chide. You don't go to God and say, "You're not going to do this, are you?" We don't harden our hearts. We are to be an example. We are to look at God and say, "You know what, Lord? All my springs are in Thee. Everything I need to do anything You call me to do, and so much more. All my springs are in Thee." Everything. I love that. Let's continue. Look at verse 4. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "What shall I do unto this people? They almost be ready to stone me." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Go on before the people, and take with thee the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherein thou smotest the rock. Take it in thy hand, and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Look at the next three words. Then came Amalek. You know, we do this with the Lord, and the flesh is going to be right there. Say, "Yeah, exactly, you're right." Again, it's not what's present, but what prevails that count. That, with this particular situation, God prevailed through Joshua, if you remember. God prevailed. But there was a lesson that Israel ought to have learned. Did they? Go to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14. Look at verse 20. And the Lord said, this is another situation later on, and the Lord said, "I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord." Listen, here's something that we need to remember. Whatever God does, He's going to do for His glory. Amen? Not for ours. You know, we can either be on the right side of God getting the glory, or we can be on the wrong side. We get on the wrong side when we have hardened our hearts, as in the day of provocation. God is stepping up and saying, you know something? As I live, all the earth is going to be filled with my glory. I'm going to be finishing up the Revelation on Tuesday. I read 6 chapters in Revelation this morning. It's incredible. Chapters 8 through 13. That's going to be an unbelievable time. You know, there are going to be people that will be giving God glory that will be dying and going to hell. Aren't you glad if we've trusted Christ as our Savior, we can give Him glory at the throne? We can do that here. But we need to hear His voice and harden not our hearts. We need to be recognizing this, that there are days ahead of us. There might be some things that are not that comfortable. I'm going to be meeting this Tuesday with a senator from this area. There are children that are being subjected to unbelievable wickedness in so-called sex education. Going to be going down on Florin Road and meeting with him and others. Others will be with us. This world is not my home. This world is doomed. It's not worth hardening our hearts if we are going to see glory be brought to God. Amen. So again, as we come into the Word, may we, by His grace, be hardened. Jesus gonna win. Not hardened. That if we take a stand, and we need to, praise God. Give an opportunity for testimony to bring a soul to Christ, praise God. Taking the opportunity, praise God. Like yesterday. Let's continue. Look at verse 22 there in Numbers 14 again. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, they put up quite a record. And have not hearkened to my voice. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed him fully. Him will I bring into the land wherein he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now remember, going into the land is not a picture of death. Going into the land is a picture of us taking possession of all that the Lord purchased for us. We have a promise here. We have a promise afterward as well. But when we come into, as it were, the land, we have that which God has provided. If we harden ourselves, if we decide we're not going to listen, it's not good for us. We're not going to lose our salvation, but we're going to lose, as I'll show you in just a moment as we come to closing. Remember 2 Timothy chapter 3? Take this down. Two more notes, if you would please. Every passage in your Bible, we all have needs. Every passage in your Bible meets a need. Remember 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, teaching, reproof, showing us where we're doing it wrong. So teaching, showing us where we're doing it wrong, hey, for correction, how to get from doing it wrong to doing it right. Instruction in righteousness, how to stay there, what it is all about. So this Bible, your Bible, my Bible, are you listening? It tells us everything we need. In other words, be heartened. Be heartened. Not hardened. Every passage in your Bible meets a need. Number two, every passage calls for change. It calls for change. Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, complete, truly furnished unto all good works. How many of you, ages saints, are done growing in Christ? How many of you got a little more longer to go? You see, that's why we're in it. There's not a person in here that can't learn something right now. You know what? That helps me. That, just, again, an illustration. How many times have I read Psalm 87, verse 7? All my springs are in thee. And that one time, God took his finger and he touched my heart. It was like, wow. Everything I need is in Christ. It's just one example. Let me ask you seriously, has God said anything to you this last week? If God has said something to you, I don't want you to lie. If God says something to you, say amen. What are we doing with it? See? Heartened. Praise God! Look what His Word said. Not hardened. Like David. I don't care what you say, this is what I'm going to do. David did that. And it smote him in the heart. Israelites did that. They lost. Oh my. Speaking of loss, let's close with this. Go to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Well, you know, preacher, it's not that bad. I mean, if I desire what I want, that's just my desire. The Lord knows. Had somebody tell me that one time. God knows what I want. Ouch. Look at verse 21. And he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested. Neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, now, after he has taught this, listen to what the Lord says. Take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall be more given. Now, we've just looked at the Word of God, right? The Lord says, you need to take heed to something. You need to take heed to what you just heard. If you heard me, if you really listened, if it was your desire, then you will hear more. God's going to give you more. But watch. Verse 25. For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Is this book God's Word? Who's in charge of God's Word? God is. Right? This is what He says. If you desire to hear it, you're going to hear more. You'll seek Me and you'll find Me when you search for Me with all your heart. I'm going to teach you these things. See, this is why we're told in James, you know, to seek God's wisdom. We go to Proverbs and we hear the same thing. We want to know what God's Word says. Amen? But to the person that doesn't, God says, I'm going to take from you the understanding that you even have right now. It will slowly bleed out. And suddenly, more and more, you will have less and less of an understanding, of a desire to do God's will. To understand why that is important. To understand the need for why we are to get into the Word. You'll read it out of duty, but it won't talk to you like it used to. The will of God won't move you like it used to. It'll just start bleeding out. Have you noticed what has happened in America? Brother Chapman, do we have a ton of missionaries coming out to replace you? What do you think? What do you think, brother? Is there less and less when it comes to young people, say, going out on the mission field? Is it less and less? Do you know? You see what's happening? There's a spirit that has come. Now, the wicked one has come along, and in God's people, He has put in our thoughts that which is contrary to His Word. Just like He did with David. Just like He did with Ananias. By the way, just like He did, really, I mean, he wasn't saved anyway, but with Judas Iscariot. He entered into Judas's heart, and then later on, Judas said, I did the wrong thing, but he never truly repented of his sin, never really came to Christ. The point is this. We're going to wind up getting to a point where more and more people are sitting in churches, and they're going to be asking for things that tickle the ears. Hey, we need more entertainment. No, we don't. We need preaching. We need to hear what this book has to say. But is that what is happening in our churches? No. So this is what is needed. God's people, and when I say that right now, I mean all through America. God's people need to be heartened about what this book says and get into it, not hardened. Not hardened. So let me ask you, in closing, in all seriousness, standing before God, what would we say before Him? Lord, You know my heart. I am heartened or I'm hardened. I was reading yesterday, again, how Satan can get into us. And all of a sudden, he can put a bad taste in our mouths when everything, when it comes to reading the Bible, obeying it, being a testimony for the Lord. And all of a sudden there are things that he winds up getting into our lives that are just so important all of a sudden. We don't need that. When you and I stand before God, the Lord isn't going to judge you according to how much money you made, how many hours you put in. He's going to be looking at the gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble. I'm talking about believers. How did we treat His Word, His commands? Were we heartened in what we read, rejoicing in it, and obeying? Or were we hardened as in the day of provocation? Just like those people in Israel. They saw His works, but their hearts were darkened. Let's pray.